wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh God, I know that we enter this room, enter through the cameras on the internet today, God, and we come from all different places. God, that some of us are in a place where things are really good right now in a season. And God, some are in a place that's really challenging, a place they never expected to be. God, I pray as we talk about gratitude today that we wouldn't talk about it in a term that makes it seem like some simple reality or some pithy thing. But God, we would see the real transformation that gratitude brings to our lives. So in some way, God, in a way only you can do, God, I pray that you would speak through me this morning. That you would give each of us ears to hear exactly what you want us to hear. That you'd open our minds to understanding. That our hearts would even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do. And let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Two professors of psychology got together, a guy named Robert Emmons and another professor named Michael McCullough. They had, for a long time, been wanting to study the effects of gratitude. Does gratitude actually do anything? Does it change your life in any way, shape, or form? So they did this study, and they spent some real time on it, and they had a really large group of people. And in the study, they decided to break the people into three groups. And they said, over the next week, they asked these people to write down certain things and focus on certain things for the next week. They said, one group of you, we want you to just write down the hassles of your day. I got stuck in traffic. I missed lunch today. I forgot my lunch at home. The hassles of, I had this hard project to do. Somebody said something, that sort of thing. And they said the next group, they wanted them to write down every single thing they were grateful for that week, to look for the smallest little mundane things and write them down. The third group, they wanted them just to write down what they did in their day. I woke up, I ate breakfast, I made my bed, that sort of thing. So they had these three different groups of people, and they said they wanted to study them and see how their lives were affected. Now, not much to anyone's surprise, they found that people who focused on gratitude were happier. That's true, they were happier. But what surprised them was it wasn't just an emotional response they had. It was only the people in the group who focused on gratitude whose physical lives started being better. They had less headaches. They got sicker, less. They were feeling better. They found themselves being pushed out into the community. They found themselves going out into society. Those who focused on gratitudes weren't just having emotional changes, they were having physiological changes. Things were happening in their body. They reported fewer negative physical symptoms, and they were simply enjoying a better quality of life. Emmons, one of the professors, was surprised. This is what he said. He said, "This is not just something that makes people happy, like a positive thinking optimism kind of thing. A feeling of gratitude really gets people to do something, to become more pro-social, more compassionate." And it didn't happen in the other two groups. Gratitude changed people's lives. We've been in this series now for 2 weeks. We're in week three, called The Big Dig. And we've been thinking about this season, this holiday season, as we go into Thanksgiving and Christmas, which the truth is, most people I talk to have some anxiety as they enter these seasons. The anxiety might be around family, it might be around finances, it might be around too much work, whatever it is, there's some sort of anxiety or some sort of thing they're working on. And then also, we happen to have an election this year. And that also has been good and challenging in many ways for lots of different people. So we thought, what if we do a series where we talk about how we dig deeply into our faith during this season? How do we turn to that one thing that at least we have, at least we can hang on to? How do we turn and focus on that, and how do we dig into it? And who do we look to throughout the Bible to find stories of people who do this? So the good news is we do have those stories. The good news is we have those things. And today we're going to talk about the G in dig, and that's gratitude. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of people in my social media feed that as soon as they get to November 1st, they start posting like a daily gratitude thing. right? And I'm like, isn't that great, right? Those people, they're doing it every day and they're thinking about it and they're special. But it does make me start at least thinking about gratitude. I don't know why we need a month of the year to focus on it. I don't know why we don't focus on it all the time, but it makes me think about it. And I've been particularly thinking about it this year. What are the things I'm grateful for? One of the things I'm grateful for is the new stage of life we're in with our kids. Right, our kids are almost 16 and 18. It's a different stage. We've got one who's applying to colleges. And what's been so interesting in this new phase of independence is how much my wife and I are enjoying our kids, how much we enjoy hanging out with them. So that's something I'm grateful for. It's a new thing. I remember when our kids were little, people just said, oh, I've told this before. People say, it just gets worse. No, it does not. That is not true. It gets different, and frankly, I think it gets better. So if you have little kids, hang in there. It gets better. But I will tell you, I'm really grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for our home. I'm truly grateful. I'm grateful that we live in a place where the trees change colors. I'm grateful when people share joyful things that are going on in their lives. And then I thought about our church. I'm grateful for our church. I was talking to Kathy McCrell, who is our serve director here at the church, and she said, you know, in the past years, when we get to this Thanksgiving basket time, we do a little over 100 baskets. I'm grateful that this year we're well over 150 baskets already that we're doing. And I'm grateful that we've developed such a relationship in our community that we know we have needs for at least 160 baskets this year. That people call us as a church and say, we have this need, can you serve it? I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we have this service here coming up on Thursday night, and I'm grateful to be part of a church that says, of course we're going to do that. Of course we're the community that's going to welcome all people. I'm grateful that we're a church that loves all people and affirms people for who God created them to be. I'm grateful for your generosity that absolutely transforms people's lives. So I've been thinking about that. I'm grateful. And I wonder, as I wrote this message, I sat and thought, I wonder if you're doing that work yourself. I wonder if you're pondering what you're grateful for. I wonder if you're taking the time to write down the things to say, this is what I'm grateful for. And listen, as I said before, I know some of us are in really hard places. And I don't tell you this because I think it's something you should do to be a better person. I'm saying I tell you this because it will make you feel better. It will transform you to do this work and take this time. I tell you this because I think you should wake up every morning and look in the mirror and say, I am a gift, not Tim. Don't look in the mirror and see me. I'm saying, wake, please, if you wake up every morning and you see Tim in the mirror, work with God on that one. But, woo, I'm sorry. My poor wife has to see enough of that when she looks in the mirror in the morning. But look in the mirror and say, you are a gift. And you're a gift of a God who loves you, who created you, who wants great things from you and for you. See yourself as a gift. Because when we do, the science shows, the studies show that our lives will be better. When we can take the time and focus on that gratitude, it shows that our lives will be changed. Now, here's the funny thing about gratitude, though. I don't know about you, but my gratitude often comes much later. Anybody else? When you get further away from a situation? Like, I'll go back to our kids. Man, I remember when our kids were little. We had three in diapers. Three, two and under. It was so hard. I'm going to be really honest. I love them, but it was so hard. And I can't tell you, now the iPhone does that thing where it shows you pictures that happened on this date, and they pop up. And now what I wouldn't give to go back and have a few minutes with those little kids with those diapers. See, I forget to be grateful in the moment a lot of times. And the further we get away from something, maybe there's somebody in our life and we're like, man, I cannot even remember how amazing that person was for me. And I didn't even thank them in the moment. And sometimes I think it's okay, though. I think it's okay that it takes us a little distance because I think sometimes our gratitude gets deeper the further we get from something. It gets a little richer. It gets a little bigger. But I tell you what's important. It's important for us to go back and name that gratitude, to say that thing, to let someone know that they've been a gift and a blessing. So distance from something is what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. I want to look at it through the lens of a story that comes in the gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 to 19. And as I've said before, Luke is this gospel. Luke is a doctor, so he's going to give you lots of details in a story. He's going to talk to this Gentile audience, which was the non-Jew audience. These are people that are new to this whole Jesus thing. And I want to look at what he says in Luke 17. It tells this story. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except the foreigner." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." I want you to think about this story for a minute. I want to give you a little more context. These two areas, Samaria and Galilee, never the two would have met. People from Galilee didn't go into Samaria, and people in Samaria weren't allowed to go into Galilee. It was the land of the misfits. And then you take it two steps further. People who had these skin diseases were definitely misfits. Nobody wanted them to be around because this thing was contagious. And they said to them, "If you have skin disease, if you're part of my family and you get a skin disease, if you think COVID is bad when you had to put somebody in a different room, when they got a skin disease, it was get out of my house." And it wasn't get out of my house for a short season. It was get out of my house forever. Because once you got diagnosed with this, it was over. So think about what's going on. You're in this land where two communities would never meet. And then you've got these folks who sit in the middle. Folks who have been ostracized, put out of the community, told that they're not valued, they're seen as other, they're gross. And Jesus says to them something they thought they would never hear again. He says, "Go show yourself to the priests." Well, show yourself to the priests. Why? Because you're well enough for the priests to see you, because you're healed. Because I can guarantee you what would have happened before this, the priests would have kept their distance. But Jesus says, "Go. Show yourself to the priest." So they are healed in that very moment. We know that because they have the capacity to do it. Those are healing words to tell somebody who's been on the outside of society, go and engage humanity. You are loved. You are welcome. Go. And Jesus says those words to them. And it's really, really interesting. Now, I will tell you, when I first read this passage, I did what I sometimes do. I work so hard in my life on not being judgmental. But sometimes it's my nature. I'm going to just confess and be honest. And I did exactly what I shouldn't do. I read this next part, and that's where I focused. The next part says, Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except the foreigner." And I read that sentence, and I was like, yeah, where were the other 9? I mean, they were cleansed. They were healed. And then I did what I try to do, and I took a step back. And I said, what might have been going on in their lives? What might have been going on with these other 9 people? The first thing that might have been going on is they might not have actually noticed that they were healed. They might have been sick for so long that they couldn't even notice that they were better. Maybe they were just self-centered. That's a possibility. They're self-centered people, right? Or maybe, just maybe, they had been away from their family and their friends and all the rest of humanity for so long, they ran. Maybe, just maybe, the story of the other 9 is they didn't come back to show their gratitude because they actually recognized that they could be with people again. Maybe they thought for a second they could be seen not as other, but as humans. Could you imagine what that moment would have been like? Can you imagine a moment that you're let back into society, that you're let back in, that people say, "I love you"? Have you ever been on the outside? Because if you haven't, you might not understand this story. But if you've ever been on the outside, can you imagine how transformative it was to be let back in? That's what happens in this story. That's what happens to these folks. But the truth is, I can be a lot like those other nine that didn't come back. Something great can happen, and I cannot offer thanks. I go through a lot of my life and a lot of my days without offering gratitude for God for who God is. I go through a lot of moments without thanking God for who God is. I can be just like those other nine, so I can be judgmental of myself. I can find myself in the exact same place. And I don't say that to be judgmental of you. I say that to say when I don't do those things, I am missing out on the transformative power of gratitude. I am missing out on what it can do. But there's a part of the message in this story that I want us to go back and focus on. It's verse 19. And verse 19 says, then Jesus said to him, get up and go. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. You know, another way of saying that is it's your gratitude that's changed you. Your gratitude has transformed you. Your gratitude has brought you healing. Your gratitude is taking you back into the world a different person. Your gratitude has made you better. Why in the world would Jesus say your faith has healed you? They were already healed. The scripture said they were already healed. He said it because Jesus knew what the psychologist learned in the study. He knew that gratitude changes you. He knew that it impacted their lives, and he knew that it transformed this guy's life. I read this story recently in this book called Law and Gospel, and it said, imagine that you're somebody who's been on a cruise ship, and maybe you've had a little bit to drink, and you've decided that you want to enjoy the sea outside of the boat. You take a dive off the ship, and then you realize that wasn't a great idea. And you're out there in the middle of the water, and you start drowning. You're taking in water, and you don't think there's any way that you're going to make it out of this. And all of a sudden, someone who is really, really smart on the boat takes one of those life preservers and throws it out to you. And it lands right in front of you. It hits you right where you need it to be, and you grab onto it. And they pull you in, and you get back on the boat, and everybody's cheering, and it's all good. And once you catch your breath, once you're able to breathe again, you look at the whole crowd, and you say, man, did y'all see how I grabbed that life preserver? Did y'all see my biceps as I did that? Did you see how good I was and how quickly I pulled in and how quickly I caught my breath afterwards? If that scenario happened in the story, you'd say something's wrong with that person. Because more likely what would happen is that person would catch their breath. They would find the person, find out who threw them that life preserver, and they would thank them with all of who they were. They would give them gratitude beyond any gratitude. They would ask for their phone number. They would buy them dinner. They would tell the rest of the ship, have you met my friend who saved me? Because the truth is, when we recognize that our lives are transformed, when something happens that really saves our life, we're likely to talk about it. I deeply believe in a God who has saved our lives, who has transformed us, a God who loves us so deeply, and I wonder why I don't offer that gratitude back to God on a regular basis. The God who throws the life preserver every single day. I got you today. I got you. I'm holding on to you. Do I act like the guy who says, wasn't that great how I grabbed onto that life preserver? Do I act like I can do it all on my own? The thing that the one guy who came back at the end of that story and knelt before Jesus and offered praise to God, the thing that he got was that he realized that his gratitude was going to change his life. It was going to change his story. It was going to change the rest of who he was. It would impact him, and ultimately it impacted other people. So what do we do with this? What can we learn from this guy's story? What can we learn from this moment? Here's the first thing. I think that, well, I'll give you both at one time. We return and we offer thanksgiving if we want to look at this story. Return. I wonder, and I'm going to give you some time in a moment to think about this. I wonder if there are people in your lives that have impacted your life. Are there people that you want to offer gratitude towards? Are there people, is there a person who has impacted you? Because if there is, I want to encourage you to return to that person. Maybe you can't physically go to them, but you can write them a note. Maybe they've passed and you can write about them, you can journal about them. But I want to encourage you to return to that moment because it's going to have power in your life if you do that. It'll have power in their life, but it's going to have power in your life. Return to that moment. And then the second thing I'm going to encourage you to do is to offer thanksgiving. Offer that thanksgiving to that person. Offer thanksgiving to God for them. This is what brings us wholeness and helps us experience the fullness of a life that's aligned with God, with God's Holy Spirit, with the movement of God's Holy Spirit in your life. To offer that gratitude, it's what brings the man healing. And I'm not just talking about healing from the skin disease. I'm talking about healing and wholeness in his life. Right now, the healing that you might need in your life, whatever situation you're going through, might be healing that can come from recognizing what you're grateful for. It might actually transform something. And listen, I don't want to diminish anything you're going. Right now, you might need to offer some gratitude to the guy who threw you the life preserver, to the God who threw you the life preserver, who loves you so deeply, who says, I'm walking with you through whatever this thing is. Not because God needs the gratitude, but because we do. The God of the universe says to you today, you are loved and you matter. And that's your story. No matter what the world tells you, no matter what other people say to you, the God of the universe says to you today, you are loved and you matter. And the God of the universe says the people that you love are loved and matter as well. Gratitude can change your life. Give it a shot. Be part of the group this week that writes down every single thing. So we're going to start right now. Here's a card on your seat. You're not going to turn this in. Don't worry. This is for you to take home. I want to give you a couple of minutes to just write. Jillian's going to play some music. To write what you're grateful for. You can write names of people. You can write situations. You can write, I'm grateful that the sun rose today. You can write whatever you want, but take the time and write what you're grateful for, and then take it home and keep adding to it. Put it in a place that you see every morning. Maybe it's your bathroom, maybe it's your car, maybe it's beside your bed, but put it somewhere where you can continue to add to the list. And if you're at work, email the things to yourself. If you don't have your little piece of paper, but write it down. Write it down because I believe it can be transformative for you. In fact, it's not just me, it's psychologists and Jesus who believe it. So take the time. What are you grateful for? Let that gratitude be transformative for you. Start it right now and see what God does with it.